Happy New Year. I'm Mike Salem. As we begin a new year at CWH, we want to express our gratitude for the ability to be in your homes each week proclaiming the good news of the gospel through these broadcasts. We invite you to share this ministry with your family, friends, and neighbors so they might find the hope we have in Jesus. We want to pass along to you information in our monthly newsletter called A New Song. It contains a classic devotional Bible study from my dad's writings, our weekly sermon schedule for the month, and updates here at CWH. To receive a paper or email copy, you may request it on our website at cwh.org. Call us or write to us. In Dad's message today, God's advice for the new year, he reminds us to seek God for guidance. As we embark in this new year, we hope this service will be of encouragement to you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And every week, we're so happy, and we're especially happy today because this is our first one in 2019. So we wish you all a happy new year, and we know that the Lord's going to be with us all the way through, and so we have fear nothing. We're looking at Psalm 119, where the psalmist writes, "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of men, and so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law." Dear Heavenly Father, we wished everybody kept your law. We wished everybody revered your word. But we know that over the whole world, Lord, there are people everywhere who do revere your word, who make it first and foremost in their life, and find strength from it. So we thank you for the wonderful word of God. Pray that your Lord, that you'll bless us in this service, that everything we do and say will honor Jesus, our beautiful, wonderful Jesus. In his name, amen. Jan's going to sing for us, "Going Home." And God bless you, Jan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. Beautiful song, beautiful thought, going home. But not everybody's going to get home unless you have Jesus. And when you know the Lord, you just look forward to when you depart, go to be with Christ, which is much better. We have some letters to share, and it's interesting that the very first one is one about a mother, about home. And so I want to read that. It's from Somerset, Massachusetts. This is a daughter, and she writes, "My mother prayed for our family to be saved and accepted and accept Jesus. She witnessed to them often, but she recently went home to be with the Lord at age 89 and didn't see her prayers answered. I believe God will answer her prayers and soften hearts, and they will accept Jesus. All ages can know him. Please pray for my whole family and to get saved. God bless you." You know, I've seen this so many times. I'm in my 95th year of, 75th year of ministry. And I've seen these mothers go and the children didn't know the Lord. I know that she prayed for them. Down on her knees, she prayed with her tears, and nobody ever knew, ever saw. She prayed that those children, above all anything else, those children that she brought into this world, that she could get them into the next world, that to come and know Jesus. And I just wondered, as Jan was singing, I wonder if maybe there's some of you right now, you knew your mother was praying for you, but you never give her the time of day. At least you didn't give her the spiritual time. And she slipped away, not knowing that you never accepted Jesus. And you could accept Jesus right now. I've seen a lot of people accept their mother's prayers over the years. And you could do it right now, this minute, before we have a sermon, before we do anything. You could make your prayer and say, "Dear Jesus, I know my mother prayed for me. And so I just pray, Lord, that you'll come into my heart and take away my sin. I've done a lot of things wrong. You don't need to name them unless you want to. Just come into my heart, dear Jesus, and take away my sins. And I'll turn from my sins best I can. And I want to see my mother again." You could do that right now. And you say, "Well, that's kind of funny. You give an invitation yet. I ain't got started preaching yet. Don't you give that at the end?" Well, I give that. I don't know when I'm going to give it. I'm going to tell you why. Next week, I'm going to tell you why I sprinkle that invitation all through the sermon. Today, first sermon, first letter we got, we're asking you to make that prayer. Answer your mother's prayers, and you'll see her again. Just pray you'll do that. Here's Shenandoah, Iowa. "Please send the video, Heart of a Shepherd. I'm on a fixed income and take care of my son who has had two strokes. I cannot send money at this time. Please pray for the family." So that's a mother, see, praying for her family. It's what mothers do, good mothers do. And she said, pray for the family. So we send this next day, we send this to her. And somebody else will help pay the way. God will provide. And if he doesn't want to provide, if our work is done, he wants us to close house. Well, we'll close house, and I'd like to go fishing, but I'm getting so old and stiff, I don't know if I could get in a boat, and I don't know if I get back out. So maybe I'll just talk about it. But the main thing is that you come to know Jesus, and we'll send this film for these people. Here's Seaside, Oregon. Now, here's a letter, and we're going on our 40th year. Excuse me. We're going on our 40th year, and we've never got a letter like this. And it's from Seaside, Oregon, and it's written on the back of the envelope. This is what it says. "Postman, do you know Jesus? Watch the Christian Worship Hour." I thought, if that isn't pretty good, because you know that postman or woman, as the case might be, got a soul too. And Jesus died for her, died for him just as much as any of us. And maybe this postman, he's just delivering good news to everybody, but he doesn't have the good news himself. And what he turned to the Christian worship hour, and we'll tell you, just whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you just ask Jesus to come into your heart, take away your sin, turn from your way. Jesus always taught repentance. Repentance means turning from your ways that are wrong. But I also hasten to say, you'll never be perfect, but you try for perfection. Try to be the best you possibly can. And when you stumble, just ask Jesus to forgive you, get up on your feet, and get going. Yep, that's very good. Do you know Jesus? Watch the Christian worship hour. I wonder how many people saw that. Here's Leonard, North Dakota. This is a nice letter. We get so many nice letters. I just wish I could read all of them, but we'll just share some of them. This letter says, I have no relatives, only in Norway. They're high in the mountains and they can't get shortwave. I told him about the new song and Heart of a Shepherd. He is willing to buy a DVD player and have it in his mother's room, as many of her friends speak English and wish for it. And so they're going to get buy a DVD if they have the film. Well, what do? Mail another one. Then, you know, God will pay it. He wants us to get this word out. And so here it goes. They're in Norway. They speak English and understand English. And so they can get the gospel message. And maybe they don't know Jesus. Maybe they don't know how to accept. You know, Paul says, how can they believe if nobody tells them? You have to tell them. You have to give them the information. Spread the good word. Talk about salvation. And then how shall they call on him if they'd ever heard of him? So they're hearing from him, see? And they'll get this film. And this film is made with one thing in mind, and that is to get people to come to Jesus, to open their hearts to Jesus. So let's pray for these people and just see how this goes. And so we sent it to postage. I just thought about this. Postage is really expensive for over international postage. Really expensive. But then I've ran across this verse, these words that Jesus said. What is a man profited if he should gain the whole world, lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And so then what Jesus is saying, if you lose your soul, how are you going to get it back? What can you give to get it back? And you can't get it back. Only Jesus can get it back. Because we die for our own sins. Jesus didn't have any sins. So he took our sins. He died for them, paid for them in full. And then you just say, dear Jesus, and I've given that so many times, call in the name of the Lord, he'll save you. Let's see, this is Peking, Illinois. My parents were both very ill for several years before passing, and they both looked so forward to your sermons. You blessed them so much, and me too, as their only child and caregiver. May the Lord grant you many more years of service. And so these are what we call shut-ins. They're not able to get out. There's lots of them in the wintertime with the ice and the snow. A lot of them don't get out. And we can be their service every week. We can come. And you know what the main emphasis will be? The Bible. The Word of God. The Bible. Preach the Bible. And people are saying, is there any word from the Lord? Does God have anything to say to this world? Does God have anything to say to me? And the answer is, he's got a lot to say. And that's what we do. We just zero in on that precious Word of God. And then so here they are, can't get out. And then we also have a new song, and that's a little Bible study that we send out, a little Bible study. And then this way it's going to have our little Bible study. It's about working for the Lord, how serving the Lord, how we serve the Lord. And some people use these for Sunday school lessons, and we have people in prison have little groups get together and have these Bible studies. Every month we have a new one, and they're free and postpaid. And you say, oh, shouldn't you charge something for that? Shouldn't you have a subscription fee? And if you say, nope, we're such good people, we don't even charge. We just send it out. And God says, well, you know, if you send it out, I'll send it in. So it works just fine. Having a good time doing it. Here's Arthur, Iowa. Please send me 4 copies of The Heart of a Shepherd. I want to share it with the homebound. Well, that's just it. See, some of these people don't have players and don't have any way to play them. And so you can go in there and you go with that tape and take your player in. You play for that. And it's just like having a church service. And it talk about Jesus and how to come to Jesus. And it gives them hope and it gives them courage. And it shows people that have struggles and Jesus helps them through. In our case, in our little story, we lost our farm in the Depression days. I remember when the sheriff came, gave us the papers, had 30 days. We lost our farm, but we didn't lose God because my mother, sound as she could be, she says, I don't know why this is happening, Harold, but I know God is God and he'll do the right thing. And she didn't get bitter. Some people get bitter. If things don't go right, they get mad at God. If that isn't about as dumb a street as you can travel, that's a dead ender, I'm telling you. You just give it to God. He's got a reason. And when he gets heaven, he says, then he'll understand. We'll understand. Let me see here. Oh, this, yes, I've got to really spend some time on this. This is Custer, South Dakota. Thank you so much for the pamphlet, Watch Me Grow. I'm so impressed with it that I am asking for more of them to hand out. I pray that in doing so, more people will realize the gift of life is so precious and a true miracle from God. Please send 25 if you can. Now, Watch Me Grow is a pamphlet showing the first 9 months of a baby's life. The life starts at conception. There's proof of that, scientific proof, no question about it. Life starts at conception. And then it gives those first 9 months. Do you know that, and it's in color, and it's illustrated, and it's costly, but we are sending them out, giving them out free. As long as the supply lasts, we'll send, she wants 25, we'll send 25. If you're a school teacher and you want to give it to your class, you got 50, we'll send 50. As long as we got them, we'll send them. Now, I don't know what we got, a couple thousand, I don't know what we got, but we're going to put them in circulation. Now, this little pamphlet, it shows how this, for once, it's a conception. And at conception, the little one gets its DNA and the sex designation. It's a boy or a girl at conception, not at birth, conception. And by the third week, that little baby has a heart beating. The third week. Yeah, the baby's heart is beating. And then it talks about how the little baby stretches and how the baby can hear the mother and so on. It's absolutely wonderful. Now, get your pencil and paper, and I'm going to give you the address in just a minute, and we'll send them out. If you can make an offering, that's fine. But we want to get them out and show the sanctity of life. God gives life, and only God has the right to take it. Mark it down. Here's Buffalo, Minnesota. Thank you for your wonderful show on TV. Please send me Heart of a Shepherd. We will have the neighbors in and show them this film. And so get that's a wonderful thing. Get your neighbors in, and then you can maybe give them a sandwich or something, or a cookie or something. I don't know what you want to do. But just the film will speak for itself. It'll tell about how to come to Jesus. And it's so that the children can understand it. And we have children. I was 10 years old when I accepted the Lord. I have a daughter, Patty, accepted Jesus when she was five years old. She's a grandma now, and she's still walking with Jesus and serving Jesus. Don't tell me child can't accept Jesus. Child can love its mother and a dad can love Jesus. So you're right to us. Let me see. Do I have one more? Yeah, here's one more. Buffalo, Minnesota, thank you for your wonderful film. And then this one talks about that they're going to go and give to neighbors, give to their neighbors and friends. And so they want us to send a half a dozen of the films. So that's what we're going to do. And so if you want to help us out, you got out your pencil and paper and write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com, that way, internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And it is a miracle because you can send a gift over this internet. And you can use in your foreign country, any nation, and international money. And we can have it come to American money. And we'll pay our bills and go our way. If you want to have the new song, a little Bible study, How to Serve God. That's the one we have for January. How to Serve God. You put that down. And then we have a monthly little paper that we send out. And we have excerpts from letters that we get. That's just exciting. It's thrilling. And then we have a list of all the sermons and the text, how you can find it. We have devotional every day. It has a devotional in there. Well, it's on 24 hours a day, as a matter of fact. But every month we have a new devotion. And every week we have a new devotion. So we'd like to have you do that. Now, we're going to give it again because people on shortwave don't have that screen. And it's just box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I know somebody is saying, I don't know. How do we know what he does with the money? How do we know? We don't know a thing about that. You send it to him. What's he going to do with that money? Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't touch the money. They don't even let me get near it, so they don't trust me with it at all. So we have some good, trustworthy people. But we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization. They check our books. They audit our books. And we are clear as a hound's tooth. And we account for every penny we get and every penny we spend out. So you can be sure the money's going to go where it should. So one more time, just to our shortwave people, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So you pray, and Jana will play, and I'll pray, and you give as God lays on your heart, and everything will work just fine. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Jan. If I could play like that, I'd give up preaching. I know what some of you are saying, why don't you give up preaching anyway? But I'm not going to do that, so just sit tight. Well, we're reading from Proverbs chapter 3 today. If you have your Bibles, we'll turn to that. Proverbs chapter 3. And he's talking about how to live for the new year, how to get guidance. We don't know what's going to happen in 2019, except we know that God is there and he'll guide us if we'll let him. And many times we'll get into trouble because we're just too bullheaded and we won't listen to God. And when we come back with our tears in our eyes and God says, I'll forgive you, get up now, start over, start again. Proverbs 3, verses, the first verses. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. So we're going to pray. In our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Yemen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that as we start this new year, we don't know what a day holds. We don't know what the year holds. We don't even know if we don't know for the next hour, really. But you know everything, and you've gone all ahead of us and guided and directed us. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'll help us to be obedient to your word, listen to your word, and follow it. And dear Lord, we're praying for the people at Yemen, and we know, Lord, that there's special persecution there, and that and thousands upon thousands are dishomed, out of a home, and so many put to death and suffered, and families torn up, and oh God, we just pray for them, and especially the Christians, because they have special persecution, and yet they're true to you, Lord, and they just stand as true as stand there. And an example to us. And so if they can stand, help us to stand for you here wherever we live and following you. So bless us in this service, and may everything we do and say honor Jesus. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And Hank, I don't dare preach till I hear from you a thing called love. So God bless you.
God came down and lived as a man, showed his love as he walked this land. But it was too great to understand this thing called love. He touched the blind and made them see, raised the dead, set the captives free. Gave his life upon a tree because of love. You can't see it with your eyes, hold it in your hand, but like the wind that covers our land, strong enough to change the heart of any man, this thing called love. It can lift you up, never let you down, take your world, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found as strong as God's love. He became poor that we could be rich, into a world that was sick. The problem of sin he came to fix because of love. He can take a life of emptiness, fill it with love and righteousness. I thank God my life's been blessed with God's love. You can't see it with your eyes, hold it in your hand, but like the wind that covers our land, strong enough to change the heart of any man, this thing called love. It can lift you up, never let you down, take your world, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found as strong as God's love. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found as strong as God's love.
Thank you, Hank. God bless you. Always good to have Hank. You're so faithful. As a matter of fact, our whole team, stand by and stay with us. And we're doing it because we love Jesus and we love you, friends. I want you to love Jesus, too. Oh, you don't know what you're missing if you haven't accepted the Lord. I don't know what you're worshiping, and I don't know where you're at, if you have any worship at all. You worship something. There'll be something. I just hope you put it in Jesus. Oh, it's the only way to travel. Well, if you want some advice, we go to God. And so we have a new year, we go to God for advice. As a matter of fact, God suggested that we do that. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, and acknowledge him in all your ways. So let's look at some of the advice that God gives. And the first thing I put down is that we need to face tomorrow with a lofty vision. As Solomon said so long ago, where there is no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29, verse 18. Now what this verse really means is, what's saying is, where there is no vision of God, the people fall apart, the people perish, the nation disintegrates if they don't have a vision of God, a clear, godly vision, and where they fear God, and that holds them together. Now, I don't know about your nation, but I know America surely needs it. They put God out of the church, the schools, they put a prayer out of the schools, and ever since we've been on a decline spiritually. Pray for America and pray for the nations of the world, because that's so as prevalent in a lot of nations, I know that. So, but what we want to look at in another light is this verse is, where there is no vision, the people perish. That is, that everybody, nothing is accomplished in somebody unless you have a vision, unless you have a dream about something in mind. So we want to look at having a vision, a dream, because that makes life worth living. You have a reason for living, a reason for doing these things, a dream of accomplishing something for Christ and helping our fellow man. We can dream and have vision as long as we live. God has a purpose for our existence, and we must dream and plan for God. And if you're alive, there is a work for us to do. As long as you live, God has a work for us to do. So you have to have a sort of dream and imagine and have the set God always for you and always have something you're working for and something you're dreaming for. Every person ought to be two persons. He ought to be the person he is, and he ought to be the person that he aims to be. And vision is the power to see the invisible, and it is to bring it in so that people do see it and it becomes visible. From every invention in the world, from the horse-drawn wagon to the jet-propelled airplane, it was first of all a dream in a man's heart and a man's soul. There were no painting was ever painted, no book was ever printed, no house was ever built, no engine was invented, unless they had a dream, they had a vision, they had it in their mind, they had a striking out for something. Imagination then furnishes the ideal toward us so that we strive and work for something. There's a reason for living, a purpose for living. Take a cue from the children. They're always imagining things. You can take a little child and put him out in a little sand place and let him play with his little car or a little doll in her crib. They can imagine more things in less time, and they'll be as happy as can be. They can be happier than the rich man with millions of dollars, because he isn't happy. He's worried about his money, how to make more and what he can do. And I read about one little boy talking about imagination, and he had a dog, and a policeman came by, and he asked him, what kind of a dog is that? And he says, well, and it was a mangy old thing, you know, that he picked up somewhere and gave it a bone and stayed with him ever since. And a man asked him, he says, well, what kind of a dog is he? And he says, he's a police dog. And you can look at him and know he was nothing but a police dog. And he says, a police dog? He says, it doesn't look much like a police dog. And the boy says, oh, yeah, but he's in the Secret Service. And so he had it all figured out. And that's the way we have to live. We have to have a dream, have to have a vision, believe something. And then we have to have integrity and independence. Integrity is the expression of honor. Honor is a chief cornerstone of a building of a character. And if you want to have a character and be a good character, you have to have honorable and you have to have integrity so that you really believe something and you live that. And you can depend upon it. I remember remember too that just don't live for yourself, but live for God and live for other people. And as Moody used to say, a man all wrapped up in himself makes an awful tough, small package. And so live for God and live for others. In 1961, I remember the inauguration of President John F. Kennedy. And I heard him say, and I've heard it said 1,000 times since then. He said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And so I would say, ask not what God can do for you, but ask God what you can do for God. What can we do to help other people? What can we do to honor God? Have a dream, have a vision for that, helping other people. And don't be afraid to make a stand for what's right in God's sight. Because in order to accomplish some of these things, you have to make a stand. And perhaps the greatest dangers of our day-to-day is a problem of conformity. You see it with the young people especially, but a lot of people, you see it. And their greatest fear is being different. They don't want to be different. They want to be the rest of the crowd and run with the crowd. So they wear the same kind of clothes. Women use the same kind of makeup. They talk the same kind of talk. Have you ever heard anybody say, cool, cool? And you could go into the house and say, it's 110 degrees outside there. And they say, cool. What is that supposed to mean? It's just conformity. It's the herd instinct. And they're all doing the same thing. And without the crowd, they just talk and think and dress and act and do the same thing. One college girl said, what one does, they all do. They all like to copy, to imitate, to follow. They're carbon copies of each other, living in mortal fear of being distinctive or different, like the ugly duckling. Well, when you have a man or a woman with integrity, they're willing to stand alone. And we rock to think about the persecuted church so much. And our heart goes out to the persecuted church. And we pray for them every service we have. And I think of them, how they make their stand. And their stand may cost them their life. And I remember those pictures. 3 young men, all had a hood on, all bent over with the executioner standing behind them. And then those young men would say in Arabic, Jesus Christ is Lord, and give their life. That's the way they did it. They stood up for the Lord even if it cost their life. And that's what we have to be willing to do. Don't be hiding in a corner. Now, don't be obnoxious. But when you have something and you're convinced of it and the Bible teaches it, God has it, you stand for the Lord. And those people stand for the Lord. And the little children see their dads and their mothers, mostly their dads. And some of them are orphans and some of them have single mothers. And don't they have a terrible life? And yet God says they're going to wear a martyr's crown. God is going to bless them. And the moment they lose that life, they're in the presence of the Lord and they're done with the battles and struggles of life. And they'll shine as martyrs for Christ as long as all eternity they'll be there. That's what we have to do. So stand up for the Lord. And then I put down face tomorrow with Jesus Christ because he's the secret of all success. Jesus Christ has to figure into this formula somewhere and he has to be at the top of the list. Everything I have mentioned, I honestly believe, but to really make it count and to really make it work, you have to put Jesus Christ first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will fall in place. All of these things will be added unto you. Oh, I tell you, without him, you cannot succeed in this life and really be happy in this life. Oh, you can get by. You can make $1 million. You can be powerful. You can be popular. You can be a real success in the sight of man, but you're not the real success unless you have Jesus Christ. In the sight of God, you're a failure until you've accepted his son. Without Jesus, you can never be the person you ought to be or you want to be. Unless God has a vital part in your life, then your vision and your goals will be faulty. Your faith will be unfounded and it won't really come through. And whatever you do, whatever you plan, you're never going to be happy unless you have Jesus, because I'll tell you why. God formed us. He made Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And when he made that Adam, he made him with a compartment that needs God. And so that's got to be filled sometimes with money, sometimes with popularity, sometimes with false gods, sometimes with little idols made with hands. Something has to fill this yearning for God. And unless that something is Jesus Christ, you will never be happy and you'll never be really successful as you could be and should be. And so when you have to have Jesus and you have to let him have your complete relationship of your life, you have to give him everything you have. You have to give him your will, and you've got to give him your mind, and you've got to give him your soul, and you've got to give him all of your dreams, and you've got to give him all of your ambitions, and your attitude has to be right with God, and you have to have the right goals, and all of else has to be Jesus. Jesus says that he wants to be first in our life. And he says that there shall have no other gods before you but the one great God Almighty. And unless we do that, we'll never find the real meaning of life. And unless you do that, you'll never find the fullness of life unless you have Jesus Christ. I was reading about Blaise Pascal, and he's a perfect example of this. Blaise Pascal was without equal. He was a brilliant French thinker. He was a scientist. He was a mathematician. He was an inventor. When only a boy in Paris, Blaise Pascal had such a remarkable grasp of mathematics that they had him within the Academy of Science as a young boy talking about these things. And at the age of 15, he was writing books and developing theorems that left the professors shaking their heads. And as a teenager, he invented the world's first digital calculating machine. He had other discoveries, such as the invention of the barometer, the vacuum pump, the air compressor, the syringe, the hydraulic press. But for all of that, he was an unhappy, unfulfilled man. Something was missing. And this man, Blaise Pascal, turned to gambling and womanizing and free thinking. You name it. And Pascal did it, and he did it to the nth degree, because whatever he did it with all his heart and soul. Pascal was going through what Solomon talked when he said, for almost 3,000 years, vanity, meaningless, vanity. Everything is vanity. Everything is meaningless, utterly meaningless. And so that's in Ecclesiastes 1, verse 1 and 2. So he lived a life of dissipation and sin, a life empty and hollow, and Pascal could not fill it. And then one night, November 23rd, 1654, Pascal picked up a Bible and he turned to the 17th chapter of St. John's Gospel and the third verse. And he read that verse and it blazed like a mighty light into the heart and soul of him. And he said, like the entire room was shone with the presence of Jesus Christ. And that verse that he was looking at was, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Pascal put his entire faith and trust in Jesus Christ that day. And it seemed to be like a spark that set the entire room on fire. And so in John 17, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And someone has written, his soul instantly took wing, and he was in the permanent embrace of Jesus Christ. Pascal immediately took out his
parchment and pen, and he began to write, and he wrote out his thoughts. He writes in the year of grace, 1654, on Monday, 23rd of November, fire, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, not of the philosophers and scholars, certitude, certitude, feelings, joy. This is what he wrote. Joy, 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 tears of joy. This is eternal life, that ye may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus Christ, let me never be separated from you. Jesus spent, Pascal spent the rest of his life, and he was proclaiming the greatness of God. That scrap of parchment was found later after his death. It was sewed in the lining of his coat so that it might be close to his heart. There was a vacuum in Pascal's heart, and all of his brilliant intellect didn't answer the need. All of the pleasures he could heap upon him on the fleshly side didn't mean a thing. All the accolades of the world and admiration of the world didn't mean a thing. Nothing fills that vacuum but Jesus Christ. I can tell you right now, point blank, you will never really succeed in life until and unless that place is filled with Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Perhaps like Blaise Pascal, you're empty. You're not complete. You're searching for something. You don't can't get your hand on it. You don't know what it is. Well, come to Jesus. Receive him into your heart. You know what? The first time in your life you'll find peace, and you'll find fulfillment, and you'll find joy in your heart. Your troubled heart will be content, and God will be with you, and he will guide you through life. And this new year, what better time than to come to Jesus Christ and personally have him? You may know about him. You may admire him. You may like some of the hymns. You may like the reading of the scriptures. I don't know what, but you have to know him personally. You can't know about him. It is never enough. You have to personally know Jesus Christ. And with his leadership and guidance, then you will have the ability to meet the things of life. I'm not saying you'll be rich and popular and all the rest. You may be like Jesus, who didn't have a place to lay his head. He was homeless. And the apostles who followed him and all met a violent death except John, so far as we know. But you'll have that wonderful peace and contentment. And wherever you are, whatever you face, whatever you do, that'll always be there. And if you have not done that, you should do that right now. And you just ask Jesus, just talk to him in your own words and just tell him that you're a sinner. Now, God knows that. Jesus knows that. But he wants us to confess it and admit it. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. And Billy Graham says, if you got some terrible sin that's an awful black, ugly sin, then you want to name your sins, name your sins. You don't need to name them to anybody but just to Jesus, but just tell him you're a sinner. And he knows you're a sinner, but he wants you to confess it. And then you ask him to come into your heart. And Jesus, in a miraculous, wonderful way, the Holy Spirit takes you, that unclean person, that filthy person, that person that's going to hell, and the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. And we become a new creation. Everyone who accepts Jesus is born again and becomes a new creation. You don't fix up the old. You get a new nature, the nature of Christ. And then you feed that nature. You read the scriptures and you go to church where they're preaching the Bible. And you associate with Christian people. And you write Christian literature. And you lay off of that smutty stuff and anything that would take you away from you. And you just walk with Jesus and put the emphasis on the spiritual. They're telling about an old man. He was an old Christian. He was a dear Christian. And he accepted, helped a young man come to the Lord. And then the young man says, oh, I've got so many things fighting within me.
and the world and all the rest. I don't know what to do. And the old man says, you know, when I accepted Jesus, it was just like two dogs were inside of me. There's a black dog of sin and a white dog, and they're fighting with each other. And then the young man says, well, which dog wins? And the old man says, the one that I say sick 'em to. And that's what you got to do, emphasize the spiritual. Paul talks about that over and over. He says, the things that are spiritual needs to be made emphasized. The things that are flesh, put the flesh aside. And you can, and put an emphasis on the things of God. And whatsoever things are pure and clean and right and proper and good. And then that love for Christ, and then walk with Jesus. And you're starting this new year, 2019, started with Jesus. But maybe you are a Christian and you drifted away. It's easy to drift. And sometimes people, the devil makes people, they drift away and they get into some bad sin. All sin is bad, but some more grievous than others. And then you'll say, oh, God will never take me back. I backslid and I lost my soul. You'll never take me back. But Jesus tells us, like the prodigal son, the minute that prodigal son came, the father put his arms around him, didn't say wash and clean up and take a bath or anything. He smelled like a pig pen, and his dad hugged that old pig pen smelling kid. He took him just the way he was. Don't try to clean up and then come to God. Like one old pastor says, the Lord doesn't clean his fish till he catches them. So you just give yourself to Jesus. He'll help you clean up. And it's a lifelong process, and you'll never be perfect. But you're moving in the right direction. So you pray, Jesus, dear Jesus, he's so beautiful and wonderful. If you don't love Jesus because you don't know him, and just come into my heart, take away my sins, and I'll follow you the best I can. I'll turn from my sins, and I thank you, Jesus. And you write to us and let us know about it. We'd love to, wherever you're at in the world, and we'll send you some literature, and we'll pray for you, and you pray for us. And just to write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002. It's Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can go to ChristianWorshipHour.com. We need to have your help. James says you have not because you ask not. If you don't tell people you have needs, they don't know. We need it. We live from hand to mouth. We're just like the dentist lives from hand to mouth. And we're dependent on you. So get us, help us out. Shortwave people, here it is again. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll use it. Just remember, you maybe want the new song, you maybe want the Bible study, you maybe want the film, whatever you are. Maybe you want about the little abortion, the little thing, whatever, write to us. So now, Lord, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for all who opened their heart to you. Just, Lord, I just feel like there's millions of people that opened their heart to you right today. And bless them and fill their heart, Lord, and there'll be joy. And dear Lord in heaven, I pray for those on beds of sickness. And I pray for the shut-ins. And I pray for the young people. Oh, God, what a struggle they have. All the temptations that they have. And I pray for the children. They have troubles too, Lord. They have little broken hearts. But you love them. You love them. And help them just to pray to Jesus. And I know, Lord, you'll help them and be with them. And we'll give you thanks and praise and all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be looking for your letter. We'll be going to counting on your prayers. We'll start the new year together. Maybe this will be the year that Jesus comes. Who knows? But we'll just be ready when he comes. And when he comes, we'll rejoice. And always remember this. God loves you. He gave his son because he loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. That's why we have the whole reason for almost 40 years we've been doing this. Because we love you and I love you. I just wish I could decide for you. I can't. But I can beg you to come to Jesus. And don't despair of life. He loves you. He'll accept you. He took me. He took Paul, who was the chief of sinners. He'll take you. So God bless you. We'll pray for each other. And we're going to eventually see each other in heaven. Won't that be something?
So God bless you. God bless you, everyone, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.